again, from the point of view of the patient quality of life, in what situation would you view it advantageous to use sorafenib as opposed to lenvatinib?
So just quickly, regarding quality of life, there were quality of life assessments done in the REFLEX study, and there's really not much of a difference between the two drugs, but there are some categories that favored lenvatinib, such as delaying the decline in role functioning. The pain scores favored lenvatinib a little bit, as well as diarrhea favored lenvatinib. So, you know, as the drug rolls out globally, and certainly in the United States, I personally do not think we're done with sorafenib. One thing that we know, and we haven't gotten to, but there's very high level of evidence for the sequence of sorafenib to regorafenib. Keep in mind, all the second line trials that have been done have been after prior sorafenib. And in the context of the RESOURCE study that looked at regorafenib after sorafenib, we've seen that in that population of patients, survival is actually out to like 26 months for the patients in the RESOURCE study that go from starting sorafenib to continuing regorafenib. So, you know, as far as the clinical characteristics, I think for patients who have a higher tumor burden in the liver, who, you know, I'm hoping to get a response, those are patients who I think I would favor lenvatinib over sorafenib. And then there's going to be some toxicity nuances as well. Someone who has baseline hypertension, I think going forward with lenvatinib, you know, right away is going to take a little more effort.
I will say, in looking at the data, that you mentioned the progression-free survival, and even though from a point of view of months it's not that great, the hazard rate is 0.66, the way I read it, which is, you know, not too bad compared to sorafenib.
No, the challenge, and this isn't unique to liver cancer in some ways, but it's amplified, is what's the significance of doubling PFS if it doesn't improve OS? And I think this is some of the issue we're going to be wrestling with checkpoint inhibitors. And as we wait for the phase 3 data, you know, in the data sets we have with nivolumab and pembrolizumab, we see significant responses, but they're not that common, 15 to 20% at best. But if you respond, you do really well. But for the majority of patients, there's no objective response. We're not sure, are they getting a benefit if they have stable disease?
If this drug is approved as first-line therapy, are you going to be using it, do you think?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I don't see it as a blanket crossover, stop using sorafenib, and as I said, start using lenvatinib. I think, again, there'll be some patient characteristics that I mentioned that will steer me towards one or the other.
Anything else you want to say about first-line therapy developments?
No, except the big study we're waiting for is the CheckMate 459 study, which is sorafenib versus nivolumab. And that study completed accrual some time ago, and we're waiting for an event-driven analysis. And certainly, there's very high expectations for nivolumab to improve survival. But sorafenib has not been beaten yet. We have non-inferiority.